Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me. It's a big week in the Senate. I'm excited to share a little bit more about our effort to put a pro-growth tax reform bill on the president's desk by the end of the year. Before we look ahead, though, I thought it was worth quickly reviewing how we got to where we are today. As I think most people know, our tax code is significantly outdated. So outdated that it's been more than three decades, literally, since Congress took a hard look at reforming and modernizing it. And if you think about everything that's changed in the last 31 years, we've elected five presidents, three of which served two full terms. The internet was invented. And for me personally, I didn't have any kids when we did the last tax reform bill. And I now have grown daughters and I've got grandkids. So anyway, a lot's changed, but it's not 1986 anymore. And the time for tax reform is now. And this is really one of the reasons that I worked to get on the Senate Finance Committee, which oversees the tax code. And it was exactly for a moment like this, for the opportunity to be part of what is, I think, a once-in-a-generation opportunity to reform the tax code. And I've worked on these issues a lot through the years on a bipartisan basis under both Republican and Democrat leadership. Going back to 2011, when I first got on the committee, we've had 70 hearings on tax-related issues, tax reform. And in 2015, I collaborated with Senator Ben Cardin, who's a Democrat from Maryland, on a bipartisan set of proposals to reform the business side of the tax code. And of course, this year I've introduced a lot of individual tax reform bills along with some of my Democrat colleagues on the Finance Committee. So in spite of all that bipartisan activity in the past, it looks like we're going to end up moving the bill out of the committee, probably on a party line basis. I think that Democrats have recognized they think this is an opportunity perhaps for them to get the majorities back in the Congress, and so they see it as a political opportunity. And so at least for now, on the Finance Committee, we're not getting any cooperation from the other side. But my hope is that in the end, when the bill gets to the floor, that people realize this is a really unique and once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reform our tax code in a meaningful way, and that we'll get some bipartisan support, some Democrats who will end up voting for it. So the path forward from here, basically, I think as you recall, in September, the House, Senate, and the administration released a broad framework that outlined our principles for tax reform. Since then, the House released its plan, which they'll vote on the floor this week, and the Senate released our own plan, which we are considering even now before the Finance Committee as we speak. And while the plans differ slightly, we're on the same team in this effort and headed for the same end zone, which is to make sure that we get a bill to the president's desk that is good for wages, for jobs, and for growth in our economy, for middle income tax relief for American families, for retaining and keeping good paying jobs here in America, and for making us more competitive in the global marketplace. Those are the essential goals that we've laid out since the very beginning, and I would add to that one other thing, and it has to simplify the code. So the plan that we're considering in the Finance Committee achieves those goals, but you know, you don't have to take my word for it. The Tax Foundation has studied the proposal and concluded that it will increase wages significantly, create a million new jobs, increase the size of the economy, generate additional growth in the economy, and provide additional tax revenues from what will be the positive economic effects once the plan is implemented. And according to an analysis by the nonpartisan Joint Committee on Taxation that was reported on in Politico, the headline read, "Moderate income people would consistently see the largest percentage declines in their tax bills." That's what the quote was from the political story. So if you look at South Dakota specifically, according again to the Tax Foundation, tax reform means a $2,500 boost in after-tax income and another 2,700 new full-time jobs in our state. So just again, from a South Dakota specific standpoint, according to the Tax Foundation, it would result in 2,700 new jobs and $2,500 in after-tax income growth for middle-income families in South Dakota. So we preserve incentives for buying a home, giving to charity, doubles the standard deduction, and expands the child tax credit. It's a good plan that I think turns the tide and creates a tax code that works for the American people instead of against them. And it's something I hope in the end, as I said, on which Republicans and Democrats we'll be able to agree. And we'll find that out soon enough when we get the bill to the floor. So that's kind of in a nutshell what's been happening with the tax bill. And like I said, we've got it in front of the Finance Committee this week and hope to have the markup of that bill concluded by sometime on Friday when we get through the amendment process.